We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Each and every Tuesday throughout the baseball season, the Cubs manager, Joe Maddon, joins us right here at noon on the Spiegel and Parkin Show by way of the Grossinger Auto Group Hotline. Find over 5,000 vehicles every day at Grossinger.com. We always appreciate his time, and we do so again today. Good afternoon, Joe. How's it going?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How are you?
We're doing very well. I'm a little nervous as a Cubs fan. I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
That's okay, right? That's what it's supposed to be this time of year?
Absolutely.
Are you nervous?
No. I'm getting ready for today like I normally do. Went to my coffee shop, got the lineup written up, going to go work out after I talk to you guys and head to the ballpark.
Can you share any of that lineup with us? We obviously have been kicking it around for quite a bit.
Do we normally do that?
We do.
No, we don't.
Sometimes we do.
You'll tell us who's in there, who's not, who your tough decisions are.
The Darvish pitching today, right-handed, he's been really tough on some of the righties, and maybe just looking to get a little bit more offense going. Possibly we might make one change today.
Yeah, we were wondering about the likes of Schwarber, or Ian Happ is a guy that I've been wondering about. 5 plate appearances in the postseason so far for Ian Happ. Is that a consideration for today?
Of course it's a consideration, but again, who do you take out?
Yeah, it's you got tricky options. We're kicking around. Is this an Ian Happ center field start? Do you sacrifice defense for a few innings while you try to get as many bats in there as possible?
Well, of course, then you're talking about John Jay possibly. The other day, that game, last game in L.A., you saw how important the defense was regarding keeping that score as close as it was. Our defense was spectacular once again. It's been really good in this postseason. So there's all these different things to consider. The biggest thing is obviously it's tough. We know you're starting pitching. John only going 4 2/3 really made it more difficult, and we just got to be more offensive. So that's the biggest part of it. You just can't nail it on one or two guys. We just got to be better as a group.
You know, we would never ask you about moving or doing anything with Chris Bryant or Anthony Rizzo. Never. Right. There's no reason to do that. Is Wilson Contreras in that category for you against a righty?
No, Wilson's been one of our best hitters all year. Listen, these pitchers are good. You're talking Strasburg, you're talking Scherzer, you're talking Kershaw, you saw Hill the other night. These are good. These guys are good. Mm. And their bullpen has pitched really well. Also, they have the best bullpen in the National League. So right now our hitters are really battling against some very difficult pitching, and you just got to stay with them.
Joe, is it a strategic thing? You don't want to post it too soon if the player's been told?
Not at all. I'm just going with normal means, that's all. Not at all. I don't care. I would have told them yesterday. But that's not how we normally do it, that's all.
Okay, and then you said yesterday, there might be a couple of tinkers, but you're saying there's only one today.
I think it is just one, yes. It is just one.
Okay, all right. I guess I'll stop probing.
No, honestly, there's nothing to hide. I'm just saying it's just normal stuff. I know I sent it to Peter to distribute. And Matt, Brendan Hyde to distribute. So I don't know if it's been distributed yet or not. I'm just not 100% sure.
All right. So let's look backwards before we look forwards a little bit.
Sure.
Why do you think the team is where they are right now, down 0-2? What would you say is the biggest reason for that?
Primarily, the Dodgers pitching really stifled us pretty well. I got to give them credit for that. I think that's the biggest reason as to why we're in the situation we're in right now, and it's not to denigrate our hitters. I'm just saying that they pitched that well. It was a tough series against Washington. That travel day, just riding right into L.A., not an easy situation to deal with. But I thought our guys did great. Was that we lost 4-2, and then the home run in the ninth inning beat us. So the effort's definitely been there. I think more than anything, give the Dodgers pitchers credit.
How have there been consistent themes for your hitters in terms of they're obviously Dodgers pitching really good, understand that, but has there been we're struggling with this in particular throughout your lineup?
The biggest thing I'm seeing from the side, like I've talked about, it's just, moving the baseball, middle opposite field, that kind of stuff. You know, I think we've gotten out of that pattern just a little bit. But again, it's hard to say. I'm not going to sit here and make excuses. Our guys don't do that. It's just, it was a tough trip. I mean, first of all, go all the way back to the fifth game against Washington. Pretty impressive stuff by our guys right there. And then we had the unfortunate incident. We had to sit on the tarmac pretty much all night and then move on into L.A., and then you got to play a very good Dodger team that's well-rested. So, listen, there's different contributing factors to all of this. But my group, our group, I love them because our guys never make excuses, and I'm not here to make them. I'm just saying it was a tough trip, but beyond the two games in L.A., nobody's talking about the last game in Washington.
This Joe Maddon segment is brought to you by State Farm, proud partner of the Chicago Cubs. So if the Dodgers being really good is 1A and, you know, the Cubs hitters is 1B in terms of reasons, I'm curious because we've been discussing all the decisions that have led to this. How far down the list do I go in your mind in terms of like managerial impact and Joe Maddon decisions on the outcomes of these games?
I have no idea. I mean, listen, you have to be more specific with that.
Well, just because like sometimes, you know, Joe, the question basically is like, is Joe having a good series? These decisions, that sort of thing. You talked yesterday about not caring about like social media criticism, but it has right. gone beyond that. It was on the post game show and baseball people and all of that. So I'm just curious about, we've talked to you about second guessing before come playoff times. How do you feel like it's gone in terms of the tactical decisions in the series so far?
We've been fine. Listen, the first game, everybody was kind of worn out. And that last game, like I've said before, Wade was in there for three outs only. The thing is, when people that aren't a part of the group have no idea what's going on inside and they start making these rash judgments or decisions based on the outcome of the game, I can't disagree more with them. And I, when I'm talking about social media, I'm talking about, you know, the people talking, the narrative that's created based on, like you're saying, people after the game or potential writers coming up with these questions. Listen, I had all the faith in the world in John Lackey in that situation, and Wade was going to get three outs. That's as simple as that. I mean, other than that, I have no idea what you're talking about in regards to game decisions.
It's a very tricky thing when to use your closer in a tie game on the road.
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. I mean, we did that in Milwaukee. If you go roll back the tape in Milwaukee, we've done that. But knowing the limitations on Wade the other night, I chose to do it that way, and that's what we did.
Yeah, no, so I see both sides of it. But
no, there's only one side, man. I mean, he was only able to get three outs.
Okay.
And if you set that up in advance, that's what you do. I mean, again, there was limited options at that time of the game, and I really did feel good about John based on his experience in that situation. And I was really looking for him to get Taylor out because Turner is such a difficult option. But you have a finite number of guys to use in a situation, chose to do it that way. It didn't work out. And opposed to blaming John, why don't you give Turner some credit?
Yeah, no, Turner's unbelievable right now. Turner,
that's not the narrative. The narrative is about John.
Well, it's everything. I think that trust. We've got 4 hours on this show. We've talked about all of it. Turner's unbelievable.
Right.
Could the Davis three outs have come over two different innings? Like, is it possible?
No.
So
no.
You couldn't have brought him in, then sat him down and had him come back for an out or two.
That's what I was trying to avoid. I was absolutely trying to avoid that because just that. You know, when you pitch and then sit and then come back in, that was the difficult part. That's why you don't warm them up, and then I use them and sit them back down. And we made this up in advance, man. I felt good about the decision. I felt great about John Lackey. It didn't work out. That's all there is to it. It's about Justin Turner hitting a home run. That's it.
Understood. 7, 8, and 9 coming up in that inning. I wasn't one thinking, all right, well, this makes sense for Davis now in a tie game 7, 8, and 9 right at the beginning. But when it's Taylor and you know Turner's after, like, you could make the argument that that is the most crucial moment. That's the winnable moment when Taylor comes up, and that's why some of us wanted to see Wade there.
I can understand that if it's a different thing. If Wade was well-rested, you might have seen that. Like, so we did exactly that in Milwaukee.
Yep, you got five outs out of him. Try to get
Correct.
Five outs out of him.
Correct, exactly.
Joe, the pregame script, like you say, like we plan it ahead of time. Like, what about changing the script there? Because obviously it's like Lackey in that spot with a runner in scoring position. Like, is that something you dream up pregame, or it's just Wade for three outs is what you're thinking about pregame?
No, if Wade had been more rested, you may have seen something differently, but he was not. We talked before the game about up and in. We talk about it in those terms that you got to get up. And once you've got up and warmed up, you put them right in the ball game. Now, had we gone 1, 2, 3 right there and there was no and they never got to Turner. As an example, I had warmed up Wade and sat him down. Might not have been nearly as effective putting him back out there. So these are the kind of things you have to consider when you're making these decisions.
Yeah, you taught a lot of people the dry hump phrase yesterday.
Exactly. You don't want to warm somebody up and then not utilize them. I mean, again, that happens a lot to situational left-handers. I have to really be careful with Brian Dunsing. He's so resilient. He's been great all year. He's the one guy that you warm up and don't utilize because the lefty, being left on left kind of situations, you see the situation possibly happening, and then it goes away.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it goes away, then all of a sudden he's warmed up in the bullpen. You've never seen him in the game. But then the next day shows up and he's not available, but people don't understand that.
You know, we love to second guess as stuff is happening, and then we get a chance to talk to you, and it's good. So I want to ask why Almora got a chance to hit against Kenley Jansen, but then ended up being switched out for Leonis Martin. The next inning, I felt like, man, I didn't think Almora had a shot against Kenley, and I'm wondering why that was not an option for a lefty there.
Because absolutely, Albert's one of our best velocity hitters and best elevated fastball hitters.
Okay. So velocity, and that's what Jansen was killing everybody with, was the high fastball.
The ball is up like eye high. I mean, if you want anybody at a high fastball, choose Albert Almora.
He's your first spot. That's the top guy you'd want in that spot.
When it comes to ball up in his own right, exactly. There's some of our lefties that are pretty good at it, but he, among all the available candidates, I thought he was the best. And he did. He had a good at-bat. If the ball at shortstop, if it's up the middle, then all of a sudden it was the right decision.
Okay. Yeah, Jansen is a beast, obviously. Jansen.
Well, that's the thing. You have to understand that is a different animal, man. This guy, not only does he pitch like multiple innings, but he does it with like 15 pitches. He's just that pitch that he has, it's Mariano Rivera-esque. It's dominant, and you got to give this guy credit. He's an unusual weapon.
Yeah, and then all the high fastballs he's throwing. Wilson had a moment where he swung at three of them that were about eye high. What can you do about that if you're a hitter?
Not swing at it. That's my point. I mean, we have to stay in our lanes. I keep using that phrase, meaning that we have to accept their walks. And the other part of it is we have to utilize the whole field, because if you get like their lefties, for example, like Hill the other night, if you really get into pull mode right-handed, you're playing right into his hand. And then Wood tomorrow night, I mean, also could be that kind of guy. Kershaw, I thought we had good at-bats against Kershaw. I thought we actually played or at-bats were very good against him. The other two guys, Hill maybe not as good. Hill kept throwing that 90-mile-an-hour fastball, and it just seemed like it just went right over the top of our bats. But that's just the way it plays sometimes. So primarily get back in our lanes, get our strike zones back in order, and use the whole field.
I wanted to ask you something about philosophically as a leader, because admitting when you've made a mistake, look, there's one thing like fans want to hear a humanity about it or a humility about it, and you know, whatever them and whatever social media, whatever us, we're not that important. Do players want or need to hear that from their manager? Because Joe Girardi admitting his mistake on the challenge last week, I thought was powerful, and he said that he and the room kind of gathered. Have you ever been in a position where that is something that needs to be done, and do you think it has value?
Of course it has value, and I have, privately with different players in different situations. I would call him and tell him I screwed up. I've done that many times. But if you're talking about the other night specifically, for me to say something like that, then I'm denigrating John Lackey. So why would you ever want to do that as a manager?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm not necessarily talking about just specifically the other night. Is that? But that's...
So what else would you be talking about then?
Well, I don't know. If there's been anything that has come up either in this playoffs or last playoffs or anything.
No, it's not playoffs. It's, decisions. I've had a player a couple years ago that got really upset with, and then we sat down in like in a little bit of a shouting match, and after we got done, the next day I went back and I apologized to him, because I said my method was wrong, and I told him that straight up, man to man. See, that's the thing about a lot of this. I've always talked about, you know, you praise publicly, you criticize privately. A lot of those kind of conversations to me don't have to be public. They have to be, you know, between each other, between the group, between, you know, one-on-one kind of situations, and I've done that on several occasions.
Talking to Joe Maddon here on The Score, you talked about that Colin Powell quote and consensus with you and Theo and Jed and trying to build out the playoff roster. I'm curious, how much of a debate was Justin Wilson?
Oh, yeah, it was a big debate, just like it was in the first series, based on the Nationals roster compared to the Dodgers roster. So it was pretty lively.
And is it trust from you on the small sample since he's been there versus the big body of work where he has had success?
It just, you know, yes, of course, we got to go based on what we're seeing right now, and probably the fact that Rondon was available. And again, the situation came up the other night, and it didn't work, but that was what we were talking about. Here comes the top of their batting order, and I really like Rondon there, followed by Montgomery, but it didn't play out. But that's exactly what we had been talking about.
Because we talked on the show sometimes about, like, the camera keeps finding you staring down at that lineup card, whether it was game five or early in this series. And it's like, man, who does he have to go to? And not honestly, because there's been a lot of walks. I think every relief pitcher you've put in has had at least one walk.
Other than Rondon and actually Wilson, ironically.
Well, sure. And then it's just like there are suboptimal decisions that need to be made. How do you feel right now about just the guys in your bullpen beyond Wade Davis?
Well, I thought, you know, CJ really righted himself the other day. We got to get Montgomery back on track. You know, we really saw him as being vital in both series, Washington and with the Dodgers. You look at that Dodger group when it gets past Bellinger, they had the three righties, Hernandez, Forsyth, and Barnes. And so if you go right-handed right there, then all of a sudden they unload with their lefty. So you make your pick right there. And we felt real good. We feel really good about Montgomery versus those three right-handed guys, but it didn't play out the other day. That's the point. I mean, you make your plans, you have the right guys set up, and then you try to execute, and it just didn't play out the other day. But that doesn't mean you run away from the overarching plan. So Montgomery will be back against that group because his abilities play well against them, or you make the change. Excuse me, like the other day we brought CJ in to pitch to Hernandez, and then they came back with Utley and he got the punch out. So those are the kind of things you have to be aware of.
We haven't talked to you since the insane game five of the NLDS, which is just one of the most remarkable games I've ever watched. My goodness. And then Wade Davis, you going to him at that moment and him delivering is just amazing. Do we, and obviously that affected the usage on the weekend, as you've said, is Wade Davis capable now? Or do you know if you can get five outs out of him twice in a 3-game span, something like that? Are you limited?
I have to talk to him, honestly. Again, everybody's different, and that's what you have to all understand. It's every day, every night presents differently based on availability, usage, and what somebody's capable of doing. What Wade did the other night was spectacular, and I think that's really getting overlooked. The fact that we're playing in the NLCS at all was based on what Wade did the last game in Washington. We lost two tough games in L.A., and everybody's focused on that. But we're only here because of what Wade did in Washington. And because of that, I really felt I need to take care of him moving forward. We don't have to win just one more game. We have to win eight more games. And that's you have to keep that in mind. It's not like playing last year in the World Series where we had to win a game or go home. So the thought process is different. You're going to press it a little bit more. But right now, with so much time left, you have to be a little bit more careful. So with Wade, I'll talk to him daily and find out what he thinks he's capable of, and then we'll work from there.
Mm-hmm. How much did he say it took out of him?
Well, he was pretty fatigued after that. I think you read or heard that he doesn't want to do that again. I think he said something to that effect. And on that game itself, I mean, we were planning on using him six outs max. We had talked about that. But when it got down to seven, I said to myself, what's the difference between six or seven at this point of the season? So we did it. And again, that's the difference. Not every night is cut the same. These are human beings. They're not fantasy players. They're not on some kind of a video game of sorts. These are real people. So you have to talk to them and understand what's going on and try to make your best guess.
In that vein, is Rizzo's hand okay?
Yeah. Rizzo gets hit a lot. I mean,
yeah, well, that's just right on the back of the hand.
Yeah, and I was worried about that too, but he didn't, you know, he was pretty, you know, adamant about being fine when he went down to first. And then I have not heard from PJ at all, so I think he's well.
I got to tell you, when you talked about dry humping, I kind of thought about Anthony at the plate. He leans into the air there, doesn't he? He's got that thrust going on.
Well, that's you talking.
Yeah, just
it's
me.
It's a different kind of dry humping.
No, he gets, he's a pincushion, man. He does. He's so not afraid, and pitchers know where they have to try to throw the ball to get him out. And his credit, does he ever charge mounds or get upset? No, he just goes to first base, and I love it.
All right, I'm still thinking about the lineup, Joe. I'm trying to think what Joe has had. He's with coffee and the iPad, and he's thinking about it. Because that's a tough choice about
Schwarber, Jay, Zobrist. That's my guess, left to right in the outfield.
I'm going to guess that Zobrist is at second for Javi, and that one hurt to do. That's just a guess.
Okay.
All right. You're,
you're both good. You're both right. you're one of you are right on. One of you is right on.
Okay.
All right. Spiegel's smarter than me, but I'm younger.
Yeah, your brain is quicker.
Yeah. All right, one of us.
Listen, guys, this has been great. I'm really proud of our guys. The last couple of days have been difficult, but our guys have been outstanding. The last game in Washington was a tough one, and we won it. And then we go to L.A. and battle our butts off, and then we get to come home and maybe just rest a little bit. But let's just keep moving it forward. We've been in this situation before. We've done okay.
Yeah, that's the thing. Last year got shut out game two and game three of the NLCS. A game started by Kershaw and Rich Hill, right? And then it bounced back. It was Addison Russell's homer from the eighth spot. Somebody's got to be that guy tonight.
Right? Of course. I mean, we have to become more offensive. I mean, you could try to dissect this as much as you want, and it's easy to place blame in these situations. But overall, it's about a team concept. As a group, we have to, you know, do better at the plate. And we've done great on defense. So I'll defend that. I think our defense has been really fun to watch. And overall, the pitching's been great. Although we just got to get a little bit deeper. To really make this work, we got to get our starters a little bit deeper into the game so we could parcel out the bullpen appropriately.
What do you think about CJ? He was guaranteeing before Game 5 that we'd see him in L.A. We did, and then said the series is going to be tied before we know it.
I love it. CJ is wonderful. That's why I think he's going to be as good as I say, because he's got a short-term memory when it comes to, like, he's had a couple rough outings and come back and rebounded well. I love his enthusiasm. He's a lot of fun. And again, as this kid gains even more experience, he's going to be one of the best relievers in baseball.
All right, last thing, Joe. What do you hate more, the catcher interference rule for blocking the plate or the soda tax? Which one do you hate more?
I guess I'm ambivalent on the soda tax.
Clearly.
Yeah, that was just one of the that play was such a good play, I thought, the other night. That's how you're raised, that – First of all, nobody even talked about Schwarber and his feet. His feet were spectacular. I told him after the game, make sure you go back and watch that, because that throw was so good because your feet were so good. And then the ball carries Wilson into the play, does the right thing, and then we got penalized for it. So I was, as a purist, I mean, that's one thing that I could never concede to, that there's anything wrong with that play.
Joe, go get him. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, boys, you take care. Thanks.
Thank you. That's Joe Maddon on the Grossinger Auto Group Hotline, the segment brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Ready for a bad cold and flu season? A cold is a cold, but flu brings fever. Be prepared with the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer, backed by medical professionals everywhere.
Let's talk about that with you at 312-644-6767. You can text at 67011 as we react to that conversation.
We'll react to Joe Maddon and get you ready for Game 3 next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
That's Joe Maddon with us on the Spiegel and Parkin Show. We'll talk to Bernstein and Goff, who are broadcasting from the park at Wrigley in 30 minutes. The audio brought to you by Credit Karma. Get your truly free credit score and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Credit Karma, get knowing.
Joe was ready to tussle right from the get-go.
Yes, he was.
As we
Yes, he was.
As we started even going down the path.
And I don't even think that was that confrontational at all. I think it was tough and fair and about baseball, and he loves the second guessing. I just thought it was a little unnecessarily choppy with, like, just, real short, and like he's told us lineup decisions every time we've asked about who's in or who's out.
You have a sense of Maddon entitlement.
I mean
you have a sense of lineup entitlement.
Well, so I will admit fully that surprised me. That's why I asked, like, straight up, like, is it tactical? Because, like, you absolutely have told us, oh yeah, this guy's in the lineup or not, because he texts everybody the morning of who's in and not out of the lineup. So, like, Theo knows. The PR guys know, the players know. I thought that was a little weird given every other interview we've done with him. But whatever, we'll find out soon enough.
We need a sandwich board bet. Thank you for the 30 to 50 texters who have suggested it. A sandwich board bet on which one of our lineup suggestions was right, because he said one of us was right.
We know that Zobrist is in.
Sure.
We know Zobrist is in. It's a question of, is he in for Hayward and Wright or Javi at second? I think he's in. Those are the only scenarios.
Yeah, you guessed a specific outfield.
Right,
I guessed
Schwarber in left, Jay in center, Zobrist in right.
And I guessed Zobrist in for Javi at second base.
Right, and you didn't give an outfield.
I did not, but one of us is right on that, so whoever's right has to wear the sandwich board, or whoever's wrong has to wear the sandwich
right.
board.
Right. I don't think you
Whoever's
should be
punished. Whoever's right gets the
honor, the honor of being a human billboard.
And dancing with the Dixieland band. Look, my main question about Davis was, could those three outs that he was limited to have been spread between two innings? Like, that was winning time to me with Taylor and or Turner. Taylor then Turner up, and that should have been Davis instead of Lackey. And his answer was a quick no, that Davis could not have gotten one out there, then sat down, and then come back for like an out or two or something like that. It was about using him, resting him, using him. They weren't going to go down that way in terms of arm fatigue.
But later in the conversation, and I understand it's an elimination game five, so it's different. He said the plan pregame was six outs for Wade Davis, but then I figured, well, what's the difference between six and seven?
Uh-huh.
Well, the difference between six and seven is an extra time of sitting down and then getting warmed back up.
So that's an
inconsistency right there. But again,
right,
it's an elimination game.
Right, but that, yes. But in game two, that moment, I might have thought, hey, you know, Kenley Jansen's going to be out. Maybe I'll get four outs out of Wade Davis. But then you're doing something you didn't agree to. They had just decided Davis save situation. When I say they... That's what we got to find out from Theo and or Jed when they talk today. Whether they
I
were
assume
in on
they'll
that.
Meet with writers in an informal way before mm-hmm. the game. They're usually down there, and it's the first home game of the NLCS. I assume one or both of Theo or Jed will mm-hmm. talk to Bruce Levine and David Schuster and that sort of thing.
There are several texters who feel empowered and kind of excited by the interview in terms of, look, I have absolute confidence after hearing him. I don't see any other explanation for his answers and his reasons for decisions. I don't always agree with his decisions regarding lineups, some of his in-game decisions, but he always has an answer, always has a plan, never wrong in his mind, and the overall results are hard to argue with. There's some people who do feel the power when they hear Joe talk about it.
Sure. Joe always has an explanation. He is a smart baseball guy. What's happened here is this is a conversation about small percentages. We talked about game theory optimal with Andy McCullough. And if you don't play poker or know about game theory, it's totally fine. It's understandable. Basically, clearly, the overwhelming majority of the time, the players decide the outcomes of games, right? Overwhelming majority. Pitching, hitting, fielding. That's what determines it. But decisions, do you put yourself in the best position where, okay, against Jansen, Almora gets a hit or extends the inning 24% of the time. Was there an option on the bench that he could have gone to that would extend the inning 28% of the time? You know what I mean? Like when you're talking about managerial decisions, you're talking about 3% better shot, 5% better shot, that sort of thing. And it's surprising to me that he seems to have never admitted a tactical mistake in his entire life. That is surprising to me.
I agree. And that's where I was going. A texter says, all right, you should, instead of who you crapping, you should take what Joe said to Spiegs. Well, what do you mean then? And do a segment. Call it, what do you mean then? Joe, yeah, because he threw that back in my face rather quickly. Others say
we need to pull that as a drop for sure. What do you mean then?
Joe, I guess I should have told him I meant John Lester with a man on base in game seven after he'd been warming up for 3.5 innings and Kyle Hendricks still looks good.
That's the last thing I want to do. I don't want to relitigate last year's playoffs before game three of the NLCS.
That's why I stumbled and did not answer with exactly that. Because I don't want to relitigate a game seven exactly from last year. Texture says, if you're both wrong about the lineup, James Big Cat Williams should rock the sandwich board in 40-40 hindsight.
40-40 hindsight. Yeah, we'll take your Cubs calls and reaction to that coming up next.
One more idea. Madden in the sandwich board. Huh? You know he'd be game.
He's not willing to tell us who's playing right field. You think he's going to walk around Wrigley in a sandwich board for us? The hell out of here. This is Spiegelwood Park is on the score.
Entitlement.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Spiegel and Parkins on the score, brought to you by Credit Karma. Get your truly free credit score and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma. Download the Credit Karma app today. Credit Karma, get knowing. Speaks, tell them where they can stream us.
You can stream us at watch670thescore.com. And at 670thescore.com, you can get right to the stream. It's brought to you by Marvel Universe Live at the Allstate Arena, November 2nd through the 5th. MarvelUniverseLive.com.
We will talk to Bernstein and Goff in a little bit. They're at the park at Wrigley Field. We love broadcasting out there, so you should go by and see those guys. We'll get to the calls in just 1 second. You know, the thing he might have been the most candid about was the Justin Wilson question. They're like, very spirited debate about Justin Wilson on or off, because he has used, you know, okay, well, Rondon we'll see. Right, with him, and there have been changes from the DS to the NLCS.
He only used Wilson when they were down five runs. That's the only time he used him. He did have him warmed up in that in the deciding game against Washington, but I mean, that was absolute last option.
Made me have more conviction for whatever it counts for, but Theo did trade for him, and we all trust Theo's baseball acumen, that Joe doesn't want him and trust him, and Theo thinks that he should still trust him.
Should be giving him a chance, right? to rebuild the trust, or at least be effective, and maybe something would click in a playoff moment as opposed to his entire Cubs stint.
Steve in Lamont's on the score. What's up, Steve?
Yeah, hey, guys. Love the show. Wanted to tune in specifically today. I always try and catch your interviews with Joe. I thought today was definitely a unique one. So
thank you.
I thought your guys' line of questioning was pretty good there. So, but I did want to make a comment on what I potentially see the lineup going with today. I really enjoyed that question you guys had for Joe, and I tend to agree with Spiegs there. You know, Javi, he's 0 for the playoffs. I completely understand the importance, and I'm a huge Javi Baez fan, but I understand the importance of going with your best defensive lineup. But with the way this series and really this whole playoffs have been going for the Cubs, you know, runs have been at a premium. So I honestly, as much as, you know, Joe trusts a bat like Zobrist, a veteran bat who's going to take pitches, he's not afraid to take his walks, I think he does. He makes that switch for Zoe in place of Javi at second, and Zoe's still gonna play quality second base for you. You know, it's something he's been proven to do all season long. And then I want to know what you guys think about, you know, maybe getting LaStella in at bat. I think he's had one or two at bats this whole postseason. That's been a bat that Joe has trusted all season.
For sure, especially against velocity. Yeah, I
thought that he might have hit for Almora.
I thought he might have hit for Almora too. That it, and I think if there was a man on second,
and it was just a single,
and all you need is the single at that point. But you know, I guess he's thinking Almora could drive a ball on the high fastballs. Almora has had a very, very good postseason here.
Yeah,
and he's gotten a couple of bats against righties that I haven't expected after Joe went kind of all year not really trusting him against righties. But he's told us that before. It's certain kinds of righties with Almora. Ground ball righties, no way, because he fears that Albert will hit in the double play. But Jansen was up there elevated. I still think that one of those many lefties, including LaStella, would have been a better option, but I'm not the manager.
Albert Almora on base percentage against righties, lefties. Righties, 291. Mm-hmm. Lefties, 411. Batting average against righties, 271. Batting average against lefties, 342. I mean, he's much better against lefties. But yes, that is the profile of righties that Joe has talked to us about in the mm-hmm. past. With Almora. And so who do you have in your outfield? You have Schwarber, Jay, Hayward.
Okay. Schwarber, Jay, Hayward.
Let's go to DJ in Wrigleyville on the score. What's up, DJ?
Hi, I just want to talk more about the way it's about what...
Man, you got a bad phone. Sorry, we'll see if we can reconnect with you there. We'll go to Mark in Schaumburg. Mark, you're on the score.
Hey, guys. Look, Parkins, I hope you're wrong. I do not want Schwarber and his meat cleaver for a glove anywhere near my playoff outfield. He can pinch hit for me, maybe, but not starting the game, absolutely not. That defense is too bad. He's given up too many runs. No freaking way. If anything, you have half out there. You do not have Schwarber. His bat isn't even good enough to warrant that bad defense right now.
You know, I think the single that he dented the wall with at 114 mile per hour exit velocity is that gave Joe a little window. Oh yeah, okay, Schwarber. I think Schwarber's going to be in there. He's made some very good throws. Great throw to Contreras the other night on the play that got overturned. Yeah, the two errors on the one play from Quintana was scary, but for the most part, Schwarber's been survivable in left field this year.
And there's a report from ESPN that looks like you were right, Spiegs. Zobrist at second and Schwarber, Jay Hayward.
Schwarber, Jay Hayward.
In the outfield.
All right, we'll see. Well, that, you know, I like it. Loading up. Loading up on the lefty options.
What was the game in the DS where Zobrist had the error at second? It was...
I think it was
game three?
Game two.
I felt like it was it,
and then he came back and had the nice play.
Okay.
Oh no, right. It was game three.
Wasn't it at Wrigley?
Yes, game three. Had the error, and then he came back and made a very nice play in the ninth inning.
And listen, I love Zobrist, so I had him in the lineup too. I just had him. I felt like infield defense up the middle with Baez was more significant for Hendricks sure. than in right field for Hayward, and Hayward's been brutal at the plate also. Yeah.
Well, Zobrist will go to left for Schwarber at some point, and Baez will come in and play second. So this sure. is the kind of this is five inning buying you 2 to 3 at bats for both Zobrist and Schwarber.
Again, the key to me today. Got to figure out a way to get to Darvish early. Yep. Like first four innings, like give the crowd something to cheer about, release some of the tension on your bullpen, on the team. Like it can be contagious, like all that sort of thing. Like break through and put two runs on the board in the first inning, please. You know what I mean? Like that feels to me like that's really what they need, because then all of a sudden it's going to be nervous and guys are going to be pressing and they're going to be swinging for home runs.
They had their chances,
all these strikeouts.
For sure. And they had their chances against both Hill and Kershaw to do that kind of thing and did not.
Rocky in Lombard is on the score. What's up, Rocky?
Hey, guys. Great job on your show, by the way.
Thank you.
The reason why I call, and I've been around baseball for probably over 50 years, both as a player, coach, and a manager. And the thing I want to pick your brains about is Jansen. Why do Cubs have so much trouble with that? Now, I may be looking at it from more of a simplistic point of view, being a fan and an ex-player or whatever, but it seems like he throws extremely well, throws extremely hard. A lot of his pitches are pretty much up, like in their eyes. These guys are swinging at pitches that are up in the strike zone,
mm-hmm.
and they don't even give themselves a chance. It's almost impossible to hit pitches like that. What I used to do with players, and again, maybe simplistic, have the guys get a little smaller, you know, a little maybe squat down. Like, I don't know why they're not making an adjustment up there, because I saw it last year. I'm seeing it this year. We got really good hitters. But all these guys are swinging up at their chest level at these pitches and making Jansen look like a guy you can't hit. And, well, literally, he has been unhittable.
Well, yeah, he's been unhittable for a lot of years. Here's the thing. He's throwing the slider a lot more, which starts up there to your eyes and then dives down, you know, either into the strike zone sometimes or just out of the strike zone off the outside corner. But it starts in that same channel. It looks just like the high heat. Or he might throw the cutter, which has a little downward cut to it. So it's those high fastballs, those guys don't think they're high fastballs. They're not swinging at him thinking, I'm going to now hit the fastball at my eyes. They're thinking that's going to take a dive or a dart back into some place that I can hit.
So a career 2.08 ERA, right, for Kenley Jansen. You want to take a guess at his strikeouts to walks. He led baseball in saves this year with 41.
I know. It's 107-8 on a year.
109-7.
Okay, sorry. Excuse me.
109-7.
109 strikeouts to 7 walks. Kenley Jansen
is
the best reliever in baseball. He is.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
And he throws strikes.
Well, he was this year.
He throws strikes, and he arguably last year.
Yeah, 47 saves last year, 104 Ks against 11 walks last year.
That strikeout-to-walk ratio is preposterous. So you can't sit around and wait for him to walk you because he's not going to.
15.57-1 strikeouts to walk. 15.5 Ks for every one walk.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
And there's that moment where the high fastball looks like it's lower for that split second, you know, that split millisecond. And then, oh, by the way, it's also not a slider, which looks like it's coming at the same place.
So I bring up those numbers to just say it's not just the Cubs that have a problem with Jansen.
All of the league.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Everybody has a problem hitting Kenley Jansen.
Yes. So get to them before you see Kenley Jansen.
Yeah, that is good strategy.
Or when you see that Kenley Jansen is out of the game, go ahead and use Wade Davis to make sure you get to the post-Kenley Jansen portion of the game.
Oh, yeah, there's that. We'll talk to Bernstein and Goff from Wrigley next on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.